I couldn't know the product more versus like a lot of these marketing agencies that bring reps in, right? So I would just tell people about myself. I tell people about the product, the best ways to use it. You know, you should add strawberries to this, and this one's good for the mimosas, and you know, that kind of thing. And that ties into the sales on the to the retailer, because the thing that they're trying to avoid is making buying 5 cases, for example, from me, and it's sitting on their shelf and taking up space and rotting there. And not only is it a good product that I feel they can get behind on its own, but I locally can say to them, and I will make sure, I will come here myself for these 3-hour tasting slots, and I will sell, like, I'll sell it myself if I have to. I won't let it sit on your shelves.
Right.
You know, I will grow your consumer base in this market. And
welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Andrea Wigand. Andrea, what's up? How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. I'll give a little backstory here because I think it's funny how we met.
right.
Every year, Greece, forgetting the
four
name.
Four seasons
in Greece. Yeah. Can't believe they did it with COVID. I mean, wore masks and everything, but they do a wine tasting every year where there's wine, there's liquor, there's beer. It's totally free. And I never bring work. Like, I do not mix work and play all the time. I network a lot. I own a business. But when I'm at a wine tasting, I'm just there to drink wine. I'm not there for business stuff. But my girlfriend loved your bubbly so much that she asked the rep.
She's so like, sweet.
She's like, you need to have them on your show. This is the best stuff ever. And the rep that was there tonight connected us. And per my girlfriend's recommendation, we're talking about your bubbly, the bestie bubbly, right?
Bestie bubbly, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your company, Andrea Maria Wines, and the bestie bubblies you sell.
So I have a pretty unique business model for having my own brand and my own line of wine. I think the assumption that people make right off the bat is that I own a vineyard and I make my own wine, which is not the case. I actually have the wine made in California and we ship it out here and I use that. So, you know, in starting off, it was negotiating and working with a bunch of different wineries to find exactly the wine that I wanted for my line and finding a business model to match that. So, basically I have the wine made in California. I own the brand. We label it. The company's just my husband and I. The rep that you were referring to is just, I have one employee that just does 3-hour tasting events, parallel to myself, when I can't be there or during the busy times, I want to, maximize on that and I'll be at one and she'll be at the other. So, my husband, who unknowingly ended up in this business, that wasn't the plan to begin with, but that's how it all worked out. He does the full shrink sleeve labeling and, champagne capsules and, delivers it, we have a warehouse downtown. He delivers it to local stores. And that's basically, I am my company as I'm a New York State wine wholesaler. I'm a distributor. I could have done this model and sold it to another liquor distributor essentially. And then they would sell it for me. I'm the distributor and I self-distribute my own line, which is also kind of unique to what I do. I started just in the Rochester area selling my brand to various stores around here, and it kind of just grew from there. I started in February of 2019, but there's a lot of legwork with this type of business. So I launched in November of 2019. So it's been a little over 2 years now that I've been on shelves.
Well, congrats. And you've got Thank a you. few it's all bubblies, right?
For now, yeah. You know, yeah. I do have future plans. But yeah, the concept grew from a bestie line, essentially. And I also have bestie wine trademarked, but bestie bubbly obviously has a really nice ring. And the sparkling wine industry is growing annually. So that's another nice demographic there. So I decided to launch with the bubbly. And I started with one line, the rosé. I'm sorry, not one line, one varietal. Sure. I started with the Bestie Bubbly Rosé. And now I have three. I have a Brut and a Moscato as well. So it's a little bit of something for everyone as far as sweetness goes. And yeah, it's been working out really well. I would like to do a Bestie wine for a few different reasons. Some people just don't drink bubbly. And really, there's higher sales in still wine, even though I do kind of have a niche market. And then also, not to get into uber details, but excise tax is a big part of our expenses in this industry. And sparkling wine is insanely more than still wine. So, you know, there's a better margin there as well. So that's something I really look forward to coming out with, as well as a bridal line that I've developed.
I hope some of the listeners are into supply chain management, because I'm new to this stuff and it just blows my mind. I didn't know that you could start a winery without starting a vineyard.
Honest, most people don't know that, even in this industry. It really is that unique of a business model where, you know, some of these big stores I'm selling to, people that have been in this industry a really long time, they're like, wait, what do you do? How do you do it? You know, so it really is just, I came up with the concept of a friendship niched wine. And to my surprise, no one was doing it. Like, it blew my mind. And I just researched incessantly, obsessively, for a way to be able to do this without, I mean, I even looked into what it would take with home wine kits to start small and make it myself. But how can I do this? Like, this needs to be done. I know this will sell. I believe in it. I had a passion for wine. How can I do this and manage my overhead? And with Tracy Jong, who's an amazing attorney, right here on the West Side, she's right in Chi-Lai. She is just a wizard when it comes to liquor laws. And we kind of just built this. And it's not unheard of, but it's just not common. And like I said, there is a few other lines, one locally, but they import it in, and then they from California as well, but they use a distributor. But I'm like, this is my backyard. Like, I could, you know, I kind of have a natural skill for sales, and I wanted to be the one putting this on the shelves. I wanted to be the one meeting the customers and telling them about my line. You know, I'm a firm believer in owning your backyard first before you go bigger, you know.
And you are the one, and clearly people love it. It's been on shelves for 2 years. Where did this entrepreneurial mindset, where did the spirit come from?
I mean, I don't know where it came from per se. It's just something I've always possessed. Almost annoyingly so to my friends. Well, I don't know if it annoys them, but it's just part of who I am. Since I, you know, was young, I remember in high school, I would always, that would be such a good business. That would be such a good idea. Yeah. And, you know, in my 20s, you know, some people very fortunately have the resources to be able to start something. So that wasn't the case for me. And I started in a career in medicine. I'm a respiratory therapist at Strong. And I, you know, that was, and that's very fulfilling to me as a career, but I always want, like, the plan for me was always to have something, be my own boss, really create something. Like, I love that, creating it, being passionate, like truly passionate about it. And, so I would come up with these, just every random idea you can think of, like, you know, I got into medicine and I'll just look at things differently, I guess, from other people. You know, I remember going shopping for scrubs and I'm like, God, there's just like no, like they're overpriced for the material. Like, think about how much it costs to make these. And, you know, that's just, and then at the time, it's actually developed a lot since then. You know, that was like 15 years ago, but there was like the Grey's Anatomy line and they had like cuter ones for younger nurses, and I'm like, there's so many people in healthcare, and all of these girls wear these like one line that's actually catering to them, and like everybody's wearing that same scrub top. Like, you can get these made for so cheap. You know, I'm literally talking to my friend that went to FIT. You know, I'm just always trying to develop something, always bouncing these ideas off of people. And in my 20s, before I got into medicine, I was a career waitress, and that's just where my love of wine developed. I was just, you know, not in a bad way, but really drawn to that. I was passionate about it and learning about it. I really would soak it in. Like, the learning process was enjoyable for me, and my palate like would changed over the years. And I came up with this after like a tasting event, and just the concept of friendship and wine. Like, you can go to any gift shop, you can go to Park Lee on Park Ave, and there's going to be wine glasses that say something about friendship, or an atria of friendship and wine, or the best wines are the ones you drink with friends. Mm-hmm. Always like a block of wood, or that costs the same, if not more, than my actual bottle of wine that says the same thing, and you get the wine included. So the packaging concept, I just started snowballing, and I wanted to make a way, and I Googled it, and I was like, oh, there isn't one. There's not a wine that's about drinking wine with friends. Like, nobody's, you know, this is giant industry, and there's so many niches, and nobody was doing it. And I was like on a mission. I'm going to figure out how to do this. And there was naysayers and along the way, and like, oh, this is, everybody wants to be in this industry. Like, it's never works out, and blah, blah, blah. And I really stayed true to what I knew was what would sell and what I was passionate about. And I went with my gut on this one, and it was my first business. So.
Well, congrats. I mean, you're on fire.
I hope I'm not talking too fast. I have a habit of talking fast.
I want to talk about your passion for wine a little bit more in a moment, but short question. Have you thought about being on Shark Tank?
So a few people have brought that up to me. That's so funny. you know, I, of course I would take the opportunity. I guess in like a big pool of applicants, I don't know. I have thought about it, but not seriously. And to be honest, if I'm being perfectly honest, you give away part of the ownership of your company there. And I've had, I've had offers already for, you know, to expand in different areas for like a percentage. And I'm slow and steady wins the race. I'm going to try to do this on my own if I can.
I love that. And doing it, you're doing it on your own. You're passionate about it, so you're going to be successful. I'm wondering you don't have a vineyard. You had to find the right person to make this wine. And this is your baby. This is your business. This is your creation. Mm-hmm. You spent months and months just doing paperwork to make it possible.
Yeah.
How do you choose the right supplier? How did you find the perfect supplier for your bestie Bubbly?
You know, it was a process, and I'm not saying if I went in a different direction, it wouldn't have had the same outcome, but I was just really specific about what I wanted. And it had to be something that I could get behind, but was also marketing to my demographic and my consumer base. Because my taste is extremely dry, right? I like, and, well, I shouldn't say extremely, that's not entirely true, but I prefer like a light bodied red or an oaky Chardonnay. I like, you know, a drier champagne. But I also like a little bit of sweetness to it. I know sweet sells, right? So I wanted, the rosé was just perfect. It's only 2.8% residual sugar, but it has these amazing fruit notes, like very fruit forward at the, when you first take a sip, great strawberry notes, and then a drier champagne finish. It was just so balanced and perfect. And I just felt like if this is the only one I do, like, I love it, but I feel like, and it really kind of embodied my whole mission, my whole mission statement, like the best wines are the ones you drink with friends. Mm-hmm. This like appeals to such a broad spectrum of palates. It's like one of the few wines that I can drink and enjoy with my friends that like sweet wines. It really, it's, and it makes a great gift because of that. If you don't know what, you know, somebody is into. So, I mean, really when I found that rosé, I was kind of sold. But there was a lot, you know, when it comes to supply chain that I had to take into consideration. You know, logistically, I have, you know, a tractor trailer that I have to send with, you know, I think my, I sent anywhere from a minimum of, my first shipment was 330 cases. So how many pallets was that? Six? I don't remember now. But, you know, my biggest shipment is 13 very heavy pallets, you know, logistically, that's an expense yeah. as well. And, you know, there are wineries around here. So, you know, it wasn't just about the wine. There was wines that I definitely could have gotten more local. The price, was not where I needed it to be for where my, MSRP wanted to be on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And then, also, I was really passionate about having cork and wire, although I love the sustainability and I love screw tops. That's a huge growing base. But for this specifically, champagne, which it's not actually champagne, it's sparkling wine, but yes. I love the pop clink.
That's part of the experience, you know, with a bestie, right?
Yeah, so that I really wanted cork and wire and I couldn't find that here. I found that not for anything reasonable. And there was more like forced carbonation options, which is basically like how you would carbonate soda. You would take a still wine that you really like and you would carbonate it. And I really liked the naturally fermented, which is, you know, the Charmant method, similar to actual champagne. And it gives you those tinier bubbles and they, you know, they don't dissipate as quickly. And it's just a different, it's a different experience for me. And I was able to find that, within my budget in California. So, and that gets confusing too, because it's California sparkling wine on my label. But I'm, you know, a Rochester, New York girl. So, word of mouth is kind of important to know that people realize this is a local business, you know? And I have really tried to get that word out. And I think I'm doing a decent job. I mean, obviously there's plenty of more people that can find out, but and the store owners, like, you know, here it's small business. People spread the word and they help promote me. And that's been really nice. So.
Yeah. I mean, you can sell this nationally, but you are a Rochester girl. You're a local business. What stores currently are, can I get your wine? I know I can buy it online on the website, but what Rochester stores can I find it in?
Well, it's interesting you said that. So you can't buy it online on my website because okay. I'm a wholesaler.
Got it.
So I cannot, that's my limitation, which I get a lot of people reaching out directly to me to buy it. As a wholesaler, I legally cannot sell directly to consumers. I can only sell to retailers. But you can get it online through tipski.com and MarketView and Lisa's can as well. But in the stores locally, well, I think I'm in about 65 stores now between Rochester, Buffalo, and Syracuse. Rochester and the outlying areas being the by far my biggest market, just a few in Syracuse and a good handful in Buffalo. But you know, this is my backyard here. So White House Liquor, Market View Liquor, Lisa's Liquor Barn, Century Liquor, which is loosely affiliated with Wegmans, but not at all Wegmans. Wegmans consults for them, which is nice. Some great smaller, you know, everywhere from Fowler's and Spencerport and Chile Liquor, Base, Ryan's in Canandaigua. There's a whole bunch. I can't go through the list, but, 5 o'clock somewhere in Greece as well. They're Corey's lovely.
So pretty much all the large ones
and a lot of small ones too. Fowler's is smaller. Right. 5 o'clock somewhere is kind of smaller, medium size, you know, I really support my small accounts. I'm a small business. Right. That's really important to me, actually. Just sometimes, but honestly, even the bigger stores are privately owned. That's the cool thing about New York. You know, you're not going to go into Walmart or Target and buy a bottle of wine like you will in most states, not all. And to be perfectly honest, that that was the case, and I had this concept, and I just happened to live somewhere else, I don't know if it would have been as successful as it's been in the first 2 years, because being a virtual no one walking in to Target, where that's, you know, or when people are doing their grocery shopping, walking into someplace like that, like a giant big box chain, I don't know if I would have landed that off the bat. And the people here have been so supportive, you know, even the bigger stores, all the way down to the smaller stores. You know, I'm in small stores in Batavia. I'm in small stores in, well, not everywhere, but in this area, you know, Geneseo, Dansville, you know, there's a lot. I mean, it's too much to list, but
you might already have, if you don't, you need one. Do you have a, like, locate my wine kind of locator on the site yet? Do you have a list?
You know, I announce when I get new stores and stuff on my social media. And it's funny because, you know, again, small business, my girlfriend does my website, like one of my friends, one of my besties. And, you know, for no cost to me, and she did a lovely basic job considering I don't actually have to have any type of actual e-commerce there. It's just informative. Yes. And since she's revamped it, she's like, I need your new list. So that's literally on my to-do list. I need your new list so I can put where they can get everything on your site. So that will be up. An updated list will be on my website in the next few weeks. Yes.
So by the time this comes out, that should be up. And I want to put some fire under you to get that up soon, because thanks. I want to be able to go and see what local stores near me I can find your wine. You're in
what area are you in?
I am personally in Greece. I am basically, so I just moved to Greece. So I'm basically the start of North, I'm Greece, like normal Greece. I'm near Ridgemont Wegmans.
Yeah, the Ridgemont Wegmans. So you went to Four Seasons. That's a bigger store. Right down the street, like in that Orion's Talbot's Plaza, 5 o'clock somewhere. My friend Corey, he's amazing. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Story about him is when he was one of the first 2 days I just started randomly doing sales calls, not having any established relationships. And I have to be honest, like there's people that were more welcoming than not. Some of the people that weren't, interestingly enough, contacted me, you know, in the future to wanting to carry it. So that's always, you know, a satisfying call to make. But Corey was one of those that was like, this is so cool. And you do this yourself. And, you know, he put the bottle up at the register and tell people about it. Like, this is Andrea, she's local. And I just thought that was really, really cool. He was just always like a huge supporter. He's always blasting me on his social media, and they have a great business over there. I'm also at the Liquor Box in Mount Reed and Dewey.
I'm going to need the full list though, Andrea.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the full list, but yeah, no, it's so cool. Like these small business owners, like how amazing so many of them have been. Kathy Fowler's was a huge one for that. She was so supportive. She given me so many tips and kind of mentored me in a way with navigating my way these last few years. Like, you know, they don't have to do that. And it's just really, the Rochester business community is kind of amazing like that. Like everybody's so supportive, at least what I've found.
We really are so supportive. I love Rochester. Yeah. I'm a new business owner. A lot of people relate to that story. You know, when I started my business, I had zero book of business. I had to not compete. Mm-hmm. So I had no clients. So I had to basically make cold calls, do cold outreach on LinkedIn, start networking. A lot of people offer marketing services. So how do I stand out? It's a lot of work. And a lot of people are entrepreneurs, business owners, or maybe they're a salesperson within a company. They're curious, like, what are some of those strategies you did to grow Bestie Bubble? I mean, obviously, it's a great brand name. It's a good product. And our community's awesome. But none of that would work if you didn't actually go to work and put in the effort and the legwork to make it happen. What was it like that first year? Like, what were some of the strategies you had to take on?
Well, there's two different levels of sales strategies when it comes to my business. The first sale is from my business to another business, you know, as a wholesaler. So that that strategy was just basically making calls, sometimes in advance, and sometimes that would almost backfire. And then I would learn, like, I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm around the corner, you know, I'm a local business, I have my own line, can I stop in and have you try, you know, so you can try it. And I just found a few strategies like that. And then just being like, not trying to be something that I wasn't, or trying to be, pretend to be bigger than I wasn't, just telling my story for what it is. Telling them about the product that I'm really passionate about. It's a high quality product. I have it priced reasonably. And then part of that is, and these two things tie in together, but the big thing about the wine and spirits industry is in-person tastings. That is huge. And launching a few months before the pandemic was not ideal for that, but I was able to hit the ground running that November all the way to that March. So that gave me a chunk of getting the word out in person. And, you know, without sounding conceited, I'm pretty good at sales, you know? And it's I couldn't know the product more versus like a lot of these, marketing agencies that bring reps in. Right. So, I would just tell people about myself. I tell people about the product, the best ways to use it. You know, you should add strawberries to this, and this one's good for the mimosas, and, you know, that kind of thing. And that ties into the sales on the to the retailer, because the thing that they're trying to avoid is making buying five cases, for example, from me, and it's sitting on their shelf and taking up space and rotting there. And not only is it a good product that I feel they can get behind on its own, but I locally can say to them, and I will make sure, I will come here myself for these 3-hour tasting slots, and I will sell, like, I'll sell it myself if I have to. I won't let it sit on your shelves.
Right.
You know, I will grow your consumer base in this market. And so yeah, that's how I have gotten new customers to buy the bottle. And that's how I've gotten new retail locations to pick me up and carry it.
That's brilliant from like a sales perspective. It's like, what is the risk of carrying my product if I'm willing to walk in and sell every single case of
right?
it on my
and
own?
Then you look at my, well, that's not to plug my, and then you look at my bottle and the packaging alone, which, you know, I have one of these ring lights, so it's making it look shiny, which it's not. it's like, which is one of the things I'm most proud of with it, is because it's a matte finish, and all the shrink sleeve labels typically on the shelf, if there's very few that the entire bottle's decorated, they're typically kind of that shiny acrylic looking, and mine's completely matte, which makes it stand out on its own. So because of that, logistically, that was a little bit of a nightmare, to be honest. But my, again, you go with your gut. I was so drawn to that. And that is one of the things that carried me through the pandemic, because the packaging, when I couldn't do it, when I couldn't go and push sales in person for such a big portion of time early in my launch, it was not at the same rate as I would do it on my own, but I was able to survive. And then there was like an internet phenomenon with the wine fairies, and that is not advice I can give. That was a fluke, and I feel blessed for it. And that really kind of launched me.
What is that? The wine fairies?
Internet? Yeah. So
I'm lost.
Right. So I launched in November 2019. Like I said, sorry, I'm always dry. The pandemic hit in March, and there was this kind of local internet phenomenon on social media, primarily centered on Facebook instead of Instagram. Like, people tried to get it to take off on the other ones, and they didn't. And it started small, and it was insane. So the few main groups that it started with were the Rona Wine Fairies. That was kind of based out, this girl, Holly, started that out in Palmaria. And then Kristen out in I only know them through this, out in Brockport started one. There's debate which one started it first, so I'm not going to say, but it just within a month, every small community, like there was bigger ones that encompassed everyone. And then every small community had a whole bunch of them, just for Spenceport, just for Greece and surrounding areas, just for Henrietta, Victor. It was insane. And all of them were insanely active. And the concept is so beautiful. It was basically like, we're all locked at home, like during the quarantine, like early 2020, you would just kind of post your address and some people would like dress up and you would just go around to strangers' houses. Sometimes they put like what kind of wine they'd like, sometimes they wouldn't. And they'd go around to strangers' houses and leave wine on doorsteps. I would do it with my kids. It was like, you know, you'd sneak up and, you know, kind of ding dog ditch style, and it would brighten someone's day. And it was super cute and really, really it was just a nice bright spot on this whole dark time, right? And I had noticed, you know, I just started, but, you know, this was all women, like women only groups, because, you know, nobody wants to be giving their address out, like when, like with their, you know, profile there or whatever. So like it was kind of a safety measure. So that these groups would put in place. So it was all women. And just from the way my bottle looks and the few people that had tried it, I kept seeing it pop up on there. And then like a few of my friends were like, oh my gosh, are you seeing this? And I'd said like, you know, hi, like, you know, on there, like, you know, you might not realize this, but I live like around the corner and this is my business. And you guys are helping me survive during a very scary time. I just launched, I'm not able to sell it myself. And once word kind of just spread like that, and like the admins of these groups found out that I was a local business, it just spiraled. People like were like, she's a new business. They got behind me. And it was kind of amazing. So, yeah. And then, you know, I was interviewed on the news for it, and, you know, I had a few, had like a few articles online, and it just gave me like early exposure that I don't think I would have gotten otherwise. So it's weird how like the silver lining to things, like something that I thought might be the end, actually of my business so early on is what kind of gave me the most early exposure. So yeah, just kind of fun little story.
It is how fun. I started. Shout out to the Lion Fairies for just, that's amazing way to just make people smile.
Yeah.
You just happen to get some exposure and catch some of that goodwill. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And I think they felt my genuine gratitude too, because I can't tell you how grateful I am for that whole experience and these amazing women. And it just about, you know, comes back to our community. Like we really, there are some really, really amazing people, the majority, you know, sometimes people focus on the negative. We have some amazing supportive community in the Rochester area. And I like have been very fortunate because of that. Because my dream almost died before it started, you know?
Right. You had literally got momentum and then boom, COVID hits.
Oh, it was more than that. I literally, you would die. I signed the lease. So I started in the basement of my house was our first shipment. And case by case, my husband had to carry it around because we have a bill corridor. So I had to have it like, it's a long story, but basically for me to start with as little overhead as possible, my attorney kind of came up with this. I told you Tracy's amazing. She came up with this loophole, like, if you have an outside entrance, your husband builds a wall. I went to the zoning board in Ogden. I live, that's the town I live in. And they were nice enough to let me apply to the government to be able to hold those in bond and not have to pay tax on it. Mm-hmm. So my first shipment was there and I was able to manage my overhead and selling it on my own. It really went really well through my first Christmas season and after. And my husband's like, we can't, like the tractor trailer couldn't fit in my driveway. They were like, you know, manually bringing pellets up my driveway. It was insane. It was pouring rain. Him and my brothers case by case had to carry each case around the back of my house from the garage in the rain. And I mean, it was 330 cases or not. So anyhow, 2 weeks before the pandemic, I signed the lease on our warehouse Isn't that great timing? So it was like especially scary because I just took on a, you know, a big part of a big overhead, and all of a sudden my major sales strategy was just taken out from under me. So yeah, I'm extremely grateful for the Wineberries. And then because it's actually good wine, it's not just a marketing niche. Once I got the exposure, people buy it, like even not just to drink with friends and not just to, you know, give as a gift. I have had people reach out to me and they're like, I buy it by the case because that's the wine I drink, you know, they just love the actual wine. So, and without exposure, people don't realize that. So yeah, it was nice.
This is fascinating, Andrea. I mean, you do all the paperwork, you put in all the effort, then you start to sell it, then everything's taken out from under you. But then the community comes together, gives you the exposure. You're on, you know, the news, you're being interviewed. At any point, were you like, ah, I made it? Or do you still feel like there's a fire under you?
How
do you feel today, you know?
No, the moment was, oh my God, I'm not going to lose that chunk of money I invested to make this happen. You know, that, you know, like meaning, you know, that was always, you know, that there it's business, it's all budgets and numbers. And I just wanted to make sure that I wouldn't be too much in the negative. Right. So, that was the aha moment, but like, I never try to think that far ahead because, you know, regardless of what's going on now, I have much bigger, bigger goals for this business. And, you just don't know what could happen. And I want to continue to grow and I want to come out with different lines. I have a really promising industry in the bridal industry and a new line I'm coming out with that. Not everybody's fortunate enough to do this in business. But I was fortunate enough that my husband was able to come in and do the physical part, the labeling, the delivering, you know, all of that overhead. And I because I work at the hospital, work 12-hour shifts, and I was able after the first year to go to part-time. And that's 2 12-hour shifts a week. I work 2 12-hour overnights. And people will joke with me at work, like, so when are you going to finally quit this place? And I'm like, you know, if I can get that, you know, I have my seniority and my benefits and stuff, like you just don't know what the future is going to bring. I don't know what it would take for me to be like, I made it. You know, I'm always striving for the next thing, for the next goal.
Yeah, you're always striving. And it seems like having a little bit of fear and anxiety can be a driver. Like you've made it, but you haven't made it in comparison to where you're going to go. You mentioned you're setting up a line in the bridal industry. Is it too soon to talk about that?
It's not too soon. I'm very open about it because I own all the trademarks.
give us the short version.
The short version is basically it's going to be very similar to the look of my bottles, but more of like a lace overlay. And I trademarked Bridal Bubbly. And on the back, it says cheers to love, laughter, and happily ever after. And this happened pre-pandemic. That was supposed to be the next thing after the rosé, not the two besties, two additional besties, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I already sent to the TDB and got my cola approved, and I have the cola waiting for my label, which you need in order to legally move forward. And then it was going to be the Brut that's in the inside of the Bestie Bubbly Brut, which is probably my least selling of the two. I don't know if it's black or white or people like a little bit sweeter stuff. But it's actually not like a crazy dry brew and it does really well in tastings. So I just think people might like the colors off the shelves. But anyhow, the brew, there are certain stores the Brut does really well in, and they're going to, the Bestie Bubbly Brut, and they'll always be able to continue with it under that line. But the Brut is actually going to be used for Bridal Bubbly. This was one of my early epiphanies. The bridal market, the wine market, giant markets. And people go on Etsy and they want to make their own individual labels. And then they label them for showers and weddings, just trying to make it like a bridal thing. And there, it just doesn't exist. Like nobody, nobody has done that. And it was like a light bulb went off with that. And that was supposed to be my second launch. Like I said, obviously the bridal market, you know, you want your first year to be a strong year. Mm-hmm. And then this past year, there actually was a nice bridal season, but that was very uncertain. I even know from my friends that were brides, until we were in it, they weren't sure what it was going to be. So like there was possibilities of delays and, you know, I'd like to say 100% it's going to be this spring, but you know, it changes month by month. But if the pandemic were to die down by early spring and there's like promise and, the New York area that, that we're going to have a strong bridal season, you'll mm-hmm. be seeing that on shelves sooner rather than later, but I am going to keep it in my back pocket until it's the right season.
Yeah. I mean, Andrea, the bridal market's not going to go anywhere. It's just kind of on pause because throwing a wedding has never been more stressful for people, which is reasonably so, but the market is not going anywhere. So you have the patents, you have the trademarks, you're ready to go.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the right season. Cause you want to come out of the gate strong. And that's part of being a wholesaler too. People want to retain and keep your product because it's selling off their shelf. So if I were to start, like if I were to launch, you know, in a January, they're going to be like, when they finally get through that first order, do I want to reorder? It took us a while to move that. You know what I mean? So you want to come out of the gate strong and look and have no hesitation when those stores want to keep reordering. And, that's kind of the idea there.
So this conversation felt rapid fire. We covered so much so quick, but I want to go into the rapid fire round. Short, sweet, either or, fill in the blank questions. Completely
long-winded,
subjective,
but I'm going
to
try.
Sorry, you know, you can be long-winded if you'd like, because I want to ask a couple extended ones. Cats or dogs?
One of the rare people that will say both. I have one of each, and I love them equally.
What about coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Let's go with one unique to you. Favorite kinds of wine? Do you have any go-tos? Other than your own?
I like a very oaky Chardonnay. Ravines has a really nice one here in the Finger Lakes. I really like,
What's your favorite?
But I fluctuate. I like to try different ones.
This is another tough one. I don't know how I'd answer it. I'm thinking to myself, but what's your favorite dessert wine pairing? Well, do you have any guilty pleasures that are just go-tos?
With my wine or with another wine?
You can take it
with my wine, I would say a fresh strawberry shortcake with my Bestie Bubbly Rosé. And this is going to be a little long-winded because I'm going to say that's one of my big tips for it. For in the wine, instead of fresh strawberries, I tell people to get a cheap bag of frozen strawberries and you put it in there and it kind of works like ice cubes and keeps it nice and cold and crisp. And it, as it thaws, it kind of disintegrates and, it's really lovely, but a fresh strawberry shortcake with my, Bestie Bubbly Rosé. And outside of that, I would say, a tiramisu with a nice Cabernet. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just so hungry right now thinking about this. It's delightful. We'll do one more extended question. Give people some ideas. So I have besties. I know they love bubbly. Is there a bad time to buy them one? What, give me some ideas of when to buy a wine, what to do, maybe just fun ways.
Excuse my language, but if they just have a shit day, like really, I think that's the best time to give gifts, to be honest, is when they're not, when somebody's just, you know, especially lately in the current climate, like, you know, there's so many ups and downs and parents are juggling so much. And, you know, students are juggling so many different hurdles, you know, all, you know, college students, I mean, geez, it's wine, but, just because I think is the best reason, but but of course, like bachelorette parties, like, are you kidding? That's, you know, this is the perfect pairing and the perfect Instagrammable bottle, for your bachelorette party. Just because birthdays, all of it.
It is the perfect Instagrammable bottle. I do like the best because answer though, because we talked about this offline, but my girlfriend's son has COVID. I'm starting to feel like I'm getting sick. I would love if someone showed up with a bottle of wine right now. They would be my best friend. And I'm not telling you to do that. That's actually not what I'm saying.
And then the bestie bubbly comes with a message about that. Not only is it good wine, it really is good wine. It comes with a message. Like that's one of the common misconceptions I feel like at tastings, or when I go to these retail stores and like they would try it and they'd be like, oh, wow, that's good. I'm like, why are you surprised? And they're like, I don't know, just the packaging's so pretty and stuff. You kind of just not all people, but some people just kind of assume it's crap. And like, sure, just, you know, just crap with a pretty bow on it. And just kind of a one-off niche. Right. And I work tirelessly to get the right wine for this wine line. And it's really, really good. Like I said, people drink it just because. So not only are you giving a message, but you're giving a really good wine as well.
Andrea, everybody listening, your info is going to be in the show notes. So head there, but tell us, how do we keep in touch with you? Follow you on Instagram, buy the wine, anything like that.
Yeah. So, follow me on social media, Bestie Bubbly, on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll often post where I'm going to be, so you can come and meet me in person and chat. When I do these 3-hour tastings on Fridays and Saturdays, typically, sometimes Thursday evenings. And then www.andreamariawines.com has all my contact information. Just small business girl, no question too small. Even if it's just a question about, I like all of your, which one should I get? And, you know, want more details about that. Like I answer every question myself. And
Well, listen, guys, I'm going to go follow you right now. I'm going to follow Andrea. Maybe one day we'll see her on Shark Tank. I am confident, though, we'll see you come out with more lines, your marketing's brilliant. I love what you're doing. Just thank you again for coming on.
Maybe
the show.
I can partner with a restaurant here in Rochester at some point and do a Bestie Bubbly bottomless brunch. That's hopefully on the horizon.
I love it.
So if there's any restaurant owners out there that like the ring of that, reach out.
Are you're an alliteration girl?
Bestie
Bubbly bottomless brunch.
Bestie Bubbly bottomless brunch. The bottomless brunches are huge in these big cities like New York and Chicago. Like there's a few here and there, but the brunch market, it needs to be built up around here. I love a good brunch, a good bottomless brunch on top of it. So yeah, with your friends. I mean, that's a whole, yeah.
Yeah. And bringing in bubbly that's mimosas, a thing. So that really makes it a lot more fun. So
yeah. So hopefully we'll see. I have a lot of things in the works and,
stay tuned for it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Ben. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.